Welcome to the Inspired to be Authentic podcast. I'm your host, Matt Lancidell. Inspired to be Authentic is a podcast where we converse with people who are living their most authentic lives. We get real with our guests and talk openly about how they live with courage to be themselves. We explore barriers they have overcome to be more authentic and aligned to themselves and their purpose. Today's episode 21, and we are joined by Nitya Malin. Welcome.
Thank you, Matt. Really nice to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. Today, we're going to be talking about a deep dive into tantric sexuality. So we're going to be talking about all about tantra and sex. So I know this piques a lot of people's interest, and I'm really excited to dig into this one today. It piques my interest big time. Yeah. So I want to just introduce Nitya and share a little bit about her. So Nitya grew up in Sweden and took off on her seeker's quest 3 decades ago to live in a spiritual community in India and Italy for a number of years. She was initiated into the tantric arts by a lover whom she spent 3 years in relationship with. These early experiences with this lover affected her understanding of sex, soul, and embodiment in a profound way that could not be undone, and that has formed the basis of her work as a sex coach for men. Nitya mentors men to traverse the portal to their natural and authentic sexual genius while learning to last 1 hour or more in bed and have multiple orgasms without ejaculation.
That's right.
Yes. Woohoo. Sounds good to me. So you know where I'd like to start actually is maybe talking a bit about living in a spiritual community. What was that like for you?
Oh, that was amazing. You know, I was very young back then too. So it was really an incredible shift, you know, where everything sort of started for me, because I'd grown up in a very sort of small place, you know, as a child and a young person. So the commune in India was an incredible time. And I really fell in love with the people, you know, because I didn't get to meet, you know, Osho in person, because he passed away that same year, but dissolved into his people. And literally, that was the experience. It was a really, really incredible time to be alive and so opening on so many levels, you know. So that was... it just shifted everything for me. I knew that I needed to leave Sweden and that I wasn't probably going to come back, you know, to live there anymore. And I was in India on and off during the 1990s several times, and started living also in the commune in Italy, which was an incredible place as well. And that's where I met my lover that's, you know, been so... really, you know, that was the experience that formed the basis of the work that I do today, or back then.
Wow. What were you seeking? You were on a seeker's journey. What were you seeking?
Yeah. Look, I was really, you know, I had some issues when I grew up as a teenager. I fell into bulimia and anorexia as a teenager. And I knew that there was something that, you know, that I hadn't found, that I wanted to find, but I didn't know what it was. So I started reading like books on yoga and spirituality, and ended up going to see psychologists and psychiatrists, and none of them seemed to have the answer. And it was actually through my mom who came across a very eclectic doctor and therapist who had started a big sort of transformational therapy center outside Stockholm. And she ended up reading his book and rang him and said, look, I'm really interested in this work for my daughter. And he said, no, you got to come first to her. So she went and did his course and came back, and she was very different. And then my brother actually was studying medicine at the time. He ended up going before me. So I was the third person that went to this center and did this process that was called Meet Yourself with this doctor. And his staff, they were a combination of amazing people. And there was a couple of women there that, you know, I connected very deeply with. And they had been to this commune in India and said, look, I think you should go there because it would be really helpful for you. And that's what I did. And that's what shifted everything.
I love that name, actually. Meet Yourself.
I know. And it was a combination of really full on like therapy, like, you know, the best of the best, you know, but, you know, for a young, like, you know, 20 year old, that was like, yeah, there was no return after that. You know, I knew I'd found something that just sparked that thirst and longing to find more.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. And so you said you struggled with anorexia and bulimia when you were younger. This program, what was it helping you discover about yourself that was able to transform into kind of who you are today?
Yeah, good question. So it was really about breaking through all the, you know, all the boundaries and all the restrictions and all the conditioning that we, you know, place on ourselves as we grow up, because I knew that I was feeling trapped. Like, I was not really myself. All I wanted to be was to be myself, but it's like I couldn't. I felt like I was like this product of my upbringing. And the way I understand also, like, addictions, like, you know, for instance, food addiction, was that, you know, it's really a suppression of everything that is true in me to try and kind of hold on to something, you know. It was giving me some form of control, you know. Mm. But and the work in this, you know, in this process, all this was meditations, was emotional release, all sorts of things like that, really helped me to break free and start feeling, you know, alive underneath all of that, you know, protection that I'd built up as a young person. So that's where it started, and it's still going on, you know. It's never ending, this journey, which is really amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I struggled with a crack addiction growing up, and used that as motivation to get into doing addiction counseling. I did addiction counseling for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's everything you just described. It's that, right? It's not feeling safe in our own experience. It's not feeling shame. Actually, a lot of shame. Yeah. A lot of spending too much time in my mind, control, those sorts of things.
Yeah,
it became really problematic. So, yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're. Well, we're always a work in progress, but that you're at a place now where that's not impacting you.
Yeah, and it becomes a gift when you look back at it. I go, like, if that would never happen, I maybe would not have gone on this journey. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the same thing too. And I think, you know, people that struggle with these sorts of things, like whether it be addiction or whatever, we get the opportunity to meet ourselves. That's why I love that name.
We're forced to. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So I want to know a little bit about this. You spent 3 years with this guy who taught you the Tantra, who introduced you to this stuff.
Yeah.
Would you mind sharing a bit about that with us?
Yeah. So it was an amazing love story, really. You know, it was really my first big love as well. So, you know, as most people know, you know, that first experience is very powerful. And I was very lucky to, you know, that he was very different when it came to, you know, a few different, you know, aspects. You know, he was a meditator and natural, absolutely natural in understanding and living the tantric experience through his, you know, sexuality. And that was something that I took kind of for granted, because I hadn't really had any other experiences. And it was not until afterwards that I realized that it was very different. And so we lived in the commune as well, which is like, you know, a very sort of special place to live. I was in Tuscany, in the countryside in Italy, so as beautiful as it gets. And it was, with him, it was a way of making love that was going back to this now, it was so natural. It was like, you know, it's like it had no beginning and no end. You know, it's like it was just flowing in and out of this, like we were like one for 3 years in a way, you know, and lovemaking was, it had never anything to do with reaching anywhere or any peaks or any, you know, counting orgasms, or it was just this effortless flow that was like, you know, we were just like these two organisms that would kind of revolve around each other in a way that was just, it's not even a personal thing. It's just like kind of like nature, you know, nature flowing through you, you know, where there's not, you don't have to think about should I do this or should I try that position or something. That doesn't even come into the question. It's just like a really natural dance. That's, I mean, what I refer most things to, because I love free dance. I find it's the closest thing to making love. And that's what it was. It was an incredible dance where we would make love for hours on end, you know, and, you know, as soon as, you know, when we had time, and I suppose we had quite a lot of free time as well. And that's what I got used to, that type of lovemaking. And then, you know, after that relationship ended, and, you know, later on, you know, I've had many other relationships, I found that for most men, they're very focused on working towards the peak, you know, the orgasm, you know. For the woman, they're really, you know, really super focused on making her come and making her come as quickly as possible. Otherwise, they kind of feel like they failed. So it's all that kind of goal-orientedness that I had not experienced at all. So I was like, what's this? You know, this is weird, kind of. What are you doing? You know? And but I realized that that's very much the norm in the mainstream understanding of sex. And I find that's a trap. It's a trap because it gets us into the head and away from the flow. That's very much possible when we allow ourselves to be organic in connecting intimately.
God, there's like a zillion questions going through my mind right now. Where do I go with this? Okay, well, maybe let's break it down for the listeners, because some people aren't going to have a clue what Tantra is. So do you want to maybe just start there, and we can kind of define what Tantra is and how it, you know, how it expresses itself?
Okay, so I will do this really, you know, my version of it, you know, that it's not scripted at all. So I'm not classically trained in Tantra. I just feel like I have my own personal experience that I go by. And when I do, you know, this, what I have studied of great Tantra teachers, you know, there's a lot of recognition there, and you know, I feel that yes, I'm on this path definitely.
Great.
So it's all about connecting to ourselves and our environment through a certain frequency, a certain vibration that's very effortless and very natural. And I think everybody has some kind of experience of that through different situations in life. It might be through being in nature or listening to music or dance or some, you know, situation where you feel like everything happens in a perfect flow and things just somehow work out elegantly on their own, you know. We all have experience of that, at least in moments. So that is the flow that I'm referring to. And we can utilize that in everything we do. But when it comes to sex and intimacy, it becomes very powerful because it really allows us to make love from our highest potential, where we're not trying to figure anything out. It's no need to try and figure anything out or try and make anything happen, because then we will ruin it. But when we allow ourselves to go on that flow, then it's kind of just happens in incredible ways. Like the bodies know how to move in the most amazing ways. And the orgasms happen naturally on their own. It's nothing that you have to think about. In fact, I very rarely refer to peak orgasm at all, but more like an orgasmic state where our sensations become heightened gradually, and that can really evolve, and it's infinite really what we can experience there. And you know, especially for the woman, that is possibly initially easier to connect with, because the woman's arousal curve is naturally doesn't have a peak like the man that goes down, but it's a slowly undulating wave that can go higher and higher and higher infinitely. And the man can learn to go on that way with the woman when he taps into, or I mean, they can also, this also applies to you know, all genders. It doesn't have to be heterosexual connections, but we can all tap into that, you know, our natural ability to just flow with life. It's like we become nature in that moment, and nature is incredibly beautiful in itself when we don't try and prune it or fix it, or you know.
Yeah, or overthink it.
Exactly, that's it.
Yeah. So what comes up for me when I'm hearing you talk is I kind of started to conceptualize what you were saying as in kind of masculine, feminine. Like the masculine energy is very much about do, do, do.
Yeah.
Be in the mind. And feminine energy for me represents more intuitive, passive, beingness. And is that what you're saying? Is Tantra is more about connecting to more of the feminine aspect of, or do you even define
it's
it as
both? It's both. You know, I find it's a perfect flow between masculine and feminine, the way I see it, you know, and that also evolves organically. So, you know, in a lovemaking, any lovemaking experience, there'll be a natural flow between both, you know, and I feel like that also can come through, you know, as it wants to. There can be moments when it's complete surrender and just, you know, and a very kind of flowing experience, and it can also be much more assertive and powerful and directional. So, you know, for a man to really tap into his masculine in lovemaking is great, but he also needs his feminine there, you know, and same for the woman. And it can be more than that, not even just masculine and feminine, you know. I feel like in that experience, we open to all sorts of everything that's part of nature. It can be angelic or elemental, or, you know, all different, you know, archetypes can come through us. And it's like an adventure that you don't know what's going to happen in the next moment. You know, you can't plan it.
Yeah, this is something that I'm trying to learn now in my life, and how I think a lot of men are struggling in this area, in the area of sex, and the work that you're doing is so important. And one of the questions that I have would be maybe like, what is one of the number one things that you're working with? Like what are men coming to you for?
Yeah, well, these days are primarily early ejaculation or premature ejaculation. Yeah. But that can also be, you know, mixed with erectile issues or even delayed ejaculation as well. So it doesn't really matter. But most of my clients have early ejaculation issues. Okay.
And what, so just give me like an understanding of like what would a session look like with you? Like you're coaching them into having a connection with their body, or like what's the primary thing you're doing?
Yeah, so I have a process these days that I work with that's got mainly five anchors that we work with strengthening. So that creates the foundation that really gives you the opportunity to empower yourself from within, so that these things become natural and easy. So I work with mindset and the thinking behind it, because that's important. If we tell ourselves a lot of shit in our heads, then it's not going to work out very well. And then also deeper than that, really going into, you know, into meditation and being able to connect with the stillness within and presence. Super important, and most of us don't have any training in that, and it is what the feminine craves, is to feel the man being present with her. I mean, we all crave it. And it's also the ability to really become embodied. So really actually moving through our bodies in a way that we are authentically backing ourselves in our movements. And that most people are also not used to, because we're so conditioned from an early age to move in certain ways, like, you know, sit properly, walk properly, you know, do everything in a certain way. And we learn to fit in with how we move. So we become limited in our expression, which then in a lovemaking situation will also be limited in expression. So that's a really important piece of the puzzle, to learn to really stretch outside those boundaries, that those confines that we created in the body, and begin to allow the body to guide us. And then the body finds amazing things to do. It can heal itself, you know. It finds the perfect stretches and everything, you know.
Yeah. That's a big one. Like, I find, because in my coaching, that's probably the biggest thing I come up against, is people not being able to get out of their head and into their body. It's such a intensive. It's an intensive work to make that transformation happen, because when we're so conditioned to resorting to our mind, it's hard to get out of that habit. What's one thing that you do to help your clients move from head into heart or head into body?
Yeah, so I use one modality that I call tantric frequency, which is the spontaneous movement practice that you first of all do by yourself, but you can also do it partnered. It's great to do partnered, but always starts with ourselves. So it's about really connecting in with what's going on in any given moment, which is different, you know, whenever we look inside, and really honor what's true inside us, whether it's an emotion or any kind of sensation, and allow that to guide us through movement and sound and breath as well, and really start to, you know, give the body permission to guide us. So this is really, you know, it really works best to do it on our own when we start, in a way. So I have guided audios and things that, you know, my clients, you know, can do on their own in their own time, because often we feel, like you say, so self-conscious about what does it look like? Do I look ridiculous? And I'm like, if you look ridiculous, it's great. You know, that's, you're heading the right direction, you know? So to really, you know, allow ourselves to go outside, you know, those patterns, you know, and start to become embodied in that. And I mean, embodiment is so elusive in a way that we kind of don't realize that we're not embodied when we're not, but when we are, then we go, all right, yeah, this is what it feels like. So everyone could probably understand, if you think of a time when you've done some kind of strong physical exercise, you know, like ran, you know, long distance or something, and the way you feel afterwards, like, wow, like, you're really in the body, and thoughts aren't really intrusive anymore. They kind of, you know, you become much more present when you really get into the body. So, you know, there's some work needed there. You can't kind of just get in there by thinking about it, or even just by, you know, lying down or a stroll in the park. It's not really enough for that. You actually got to get into the body and really connect in, especially to those areas where there's numbness and stiffness, and you know, you might not feel much. So that's a super important practice, really, to be part of your daily life, some form of that, which can look in, you know, different ways for everyone.
And you think it's best when it's intuitively guided?
Yeah, totally.
Not structured. Okay, yeah.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that.
Like cats and dogs, they're not a stretch. They don't go to any yoga classes. I mean, we have intuitive knowledge in what our body needs in every moment if we listen to it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you said it bang on. A lot of people are so worried about how they look. Even in their own living room by themselves, people get the shame response that comes up for them, right? And it's like no one's even looking, but we start to get that wash of shame. How often are you working with shame in your practice?
Look, I work maybe not directly with shame, anything that comes up, I should say, you know, any emotions, that's, you know, all part of it for sure. And the way I use it, we use different ways. So, you know, making sure that you are backing yourself with the thinking that's actually supporting yourself. And also when emotions do come up strongly, I love, you know, giving that the space to actually acknowledge the emotion, welcome the emotion, feel the emotion fully, and slowly it starts to subside. And that can take shorter or longer, but most often we resist difficult emotions and we try and push them away. And that's how they kind of loop. So a lot of it is about allowing, you know, allowing whatever it is and let it have an expression through the body. You know, if you're starting to move and you feel resistance and kind of, you know, icky, or, you know, move that, you know, let that move you. So, you know, whether it's anger or frustration or sadness or grief, whatever it is perfect. Just use that. Use that to guide you, to guide your movements. Breath, sound.
Yeah, I like that. So I was, I spent some time this past weekend with a couple girlfriends that I hadn't seen in a long time. And the conversation came up around them struggling with, you know, their sexual, like their libido, essentially. And just kind of feeling stagnancy in the relationship. They're married, they have kids, and, you know, sexually feeling stagnant. So I know this is a common thing, right? For people that are in monogamous relationships, they get to a point where the sex just becomes monotonous And I feel like there's a calling for Tantra, for deeper forms of connection and intimacy in these relationships, because I find that what ends up happening is the woman kind of shuts down. She's not feeling connected to in the way that she needs to feel connected to. The man's not getting his sexual needs met, and that's when infidelity happens, right? So like I think the work that you're doing is great, because it's allowing men to connect to this part of themselves that's going to allow them to be more present and show up with women in a way that's going to it'll deepen the intimacy of the relationship. What advice do you have to like maybe some women out there that are going to be listening to this and they're in that situation and their partner, you know, they maybe want to start introducing Tantra into the relationship? How do you go about doing something like that?
Great question. So, you know, when you say that the women might experience lower libido, I just wrote a post about that the other day, actually. You know, I think very often it's not lower libido. It's just that they're actually not interested in the type of sex that they're having anymore because it gets boring.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but women also so conditioned, you know, with the mainstream education, and it's also then influenced so massively by porn. It's based on the male model, you know, it's based on male sexuality and arousal and psychology, and you know, made for men and designed by men. But women have been taught to think that they should fit into that because they don't know their own sexuality enough, so they try and fit into the male model, and that doesn't work. You know, it might work for a while, but at some point they just don't want it anymore. I mean, that's generally how it is. There's, of course, there's, you know, exceptions from that as well. But I think for the woman, it's very important to get in touch with her own body and find out what actually, you know, her own body wants and start to honor that, you know. And that is, you know, her own personal work, first of all. It's not like the man has to do that for her. It's really, you know, each one's responsibility for themselves to start to connect with their own body. And then, you know, really set high standards for what you want to experience, you know, to never allow yourself to have sex in a way that it's not right for you, you know. You can't cross your own boundaries by trying to be nice for the man, you know, because he wants it, because that's, you know, it undermines everything, you know. So really to find a way to connect that is breaking the pattern of what you've been doing until now, like pattern interrupt, you know, in most of those situations. And the way I would do that is to stop having sex the way you normally do it, maybe for a while, and start connecting in other ways. I saw that you'd written something about that too, different ways to be intimate. So yeah, lots of different ways, but you know, one of my favorites is to hang out and connect intimately with clothes on and without kissing or touching genitals, but anything else you can do, like roll around, lie on top of each other, you know, and that can go through all different energies. It can get really raunchy, or it can be very, very angelic or childlike, you know, and to connect with each other's bodies, like, you know, that bone-to-bone connection. So you actually start to connect and be comfortable with being close without any, you know, sex involved in it. And to do that for a few weeks, you know, have a roll-around date every day.
Yeah, I like it. You're getting me excited.
another one that I love too, that is a 5-minute still love making that you can do either morning or evening. Usually it's easiest when you wake up or before going to sleep.
Okay.
So obviously you both need to be, you know, in on it to know what you're doing. So so it's a completely still love making. So the man just, you know, enters the woman very gently and just like plugging in and really just cuddle up and stay still like that for 5 minutes. You can even interlock your mouths, because then you're interlocking both your sex center and your mouth, and just stay still like that in an embrace for 5 minutes, and then off you go into your day. And that it's the people that do that, they find it's so short and so simple, but it's incredible what it does to that, you know, connection, that deep intimate connection.
I'm having two experiences right now. The masculine and the feminine experience of what you're talking about. And for me, the masculine is sped up. I feel like that would slow down and I'd really have to hold back my pace, right? Which can be a challenge for some men, right? When they're in that mindset of being horny and wanting to engage in sex. And then there's the kind of the feminine aspect of me that sounds really nice to slow down and just want to really connect and be heart centered. So if you have a man who's very, very rooted in his masculine and not connected with his feminine, and a woman who's very rooted in her feminine, not connected in her masculine, like, how do you bring those two together to start to have this balanced connection?
Yeah, very good question. So for both of them to, you know, to get into their own bodies and really, you know, for a man, for instance, you know, it's great to express that energy. So a lot of guys that feel really like they have a high drive, but with a woman who's not, they get so, you know, pent up, frustrated, because it's like they're dependent on her to feel sexual, which is a trap, I think. You know, our sexual life force is our own. And you can actually allow yourself to experience that also not through sex. But for most men, they haven't learned how to channel the energy and bring it up into the body. So it becomes like this pressure cooker in the groin where they just feel like they have to relieve themselves. So it doesn't have to be like that. So the more you actually can learn to open your body, to open the channels and move the sexual energy up into your body and embody it and own it and bring it into your movements. And that's where you can do that on your own, but you can also do it by, you know, rolling around together. And you could get really intense and raunchy with that and really like live that intensity of your passion. And allow yourself to feel it without the need to go that, you know, same path into, you know, towards the goal-oriented sex and the release. So that's really, you know, breaking the pattern for the men of, you know, the habitual ejaculation every time you have sex. So, and that's a huge one, you know, I realize that. But it's really, it's a key and doorway for the man to learn to, you know, really embody his sexual energy rather than being, you know, run by it.
Yeah, I like that. And I think, you know, as a man and you know, a gay man and being with other men, I see that there's this there's a real resistance to a lot of men slowing down and connecting to their feminine because they experience shame, right? They experience shame being so vulnerable and being present. Yeah. And it's a lot of, I find sexual experiences for some men is about ego. It's about power and domination. And that's how they get their jollies, right? When in having sex. So, I guess maybe, what's one thing that you could share with men that are listening to this to help them slow down?
A self-practice. Yeah, a sexual self-practice, which is, you know, it could be anything from just feeling your sexual energy and allow yourself to feel it in your whole body. So it's not just genital-based, but allow yourself to really let yourself feel that energy with your whole body and allow it to move, allow it to be there, allow it to, you know, to give you, you know, energy and vitality and creativity and really to own it, you know. And when we see somebody that does that, it's like those people are like really charismatic, you know, and you can feel it. It's like, wow, you know. And so it's an amazing thing, you know, to and also it takes away the pressure from having to, you know, release and having to have, you know, a partner. So, sorry, please clarify the question again. I think I lost track there.
So helping men slow down. You said a sexual self-practice.
Yeah. So with the sexual self-practice, really very simply is to, you know, to self-pleasure without releasing. But allow yourself to build the energy very slowly, consciously, without focusing on fantasy or images or porn. And then
hard for a lot of guys.
Yeah. So this is where, you know, porn has really programmed so many people to have a mental sort of interface to their sexuality, which is then making you dependent on that, you know, that fantasy, and you're not really present in your own body. You're not really here. So, you know, as a self-practice, to take those things out of the picture and just focus on yourself and your own experience. And I realize for a lot of people that can be like, it's almost like not having sex anymore, you know. So maybe you can call it something else. Maybe it can be just your self-practice, you know. You can see it as a meditation in actually getting to know your own body and your own arousal level, and notice where is your 20% of arousal, where's your 40, where's your 60, where's your 80, and then you'll be very quickly at 100, you know, and maybe stop at around 60 and leave it there and go off and do something else and allow yourself to you're training yourself to hold larger amounts of sexual energy in your body without that urge to release. So you're extending your capacity to have aroused energy in your body, which is essential if you want to last for hours.
Do you think we can be aroused without our mind being involved? Do you think our body can just become aroused without our mind interpreting what we're seeing, or do they need to be working together?
Look, you know, I'm not a, you know, it's not like I know the details of that, but in my experience, there needs to be connection with yourself or with the person you're having sex with for, you know, the arousal to happen. And if you then using a fantasy on top of that, then you're kind of taking yourself somewhere else. But the arousal can, in my experience, can definitely happen without any external sources, by just being with yourself and connecting with your own energy. But it has a different quality. Yeah, it has a different quality to the kind of, you know, induced by fantasies, you know. So it's a different way of approaching sex once you start really kind of involving a lot of fantasy. And a lot of people do that. So I've got nothing to say about that. If people are happy with that, keep doing it, you know. But it can become a trap in some situations, because you might then need to try and recreate that, you know, or you end up kind of bringing the fantasy into making love with your woman, and she will feel that. She will feel that you're not there, and it's awful for a woman. And vice versa as well. I mean, it can also be for the man. There's also men that experience a woman that comes in with her own agenda, and he feels like he's being used, you know.
Yeah, I've definitely been guilty of that. And I think one of my struggles in this realm is getting out of my head during sex. It's been something I've always struggled with. And then it creates like a performance anxiety, right? You start to anticipate the future and the outcome, and you're not remaining present. So a lot of the work that I've been doing with myself and you know, maturating sexually has been around presence and really rooting into my body. And it's been very effective. Like, present moment awareness has changed my life.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, beautiful. And it is different in the beginning. If you have been having sex in a way that's very focused on climax and using a lot of fantasy, then yeah, it will be different. You know, it's like it will be complete pattern interrupt.
Yeah. Which isn't a bad thing. Try something
new. It's like, you know, it's for, the way I see it is it's a doorway to the beyond. You know, as long as you operate in the, you know, excitement, build, ejaculation, and then, you know, around again, the way I see it, it's like you're staying within very limited confines of experiencing your sexual potential, because you won't know what's beyond that. And as a man, you won't know what's beyond that, because you don't know what it is like to hold larger and larger amounts of sexual energy and circulate it in your body so that you can go higher and higher and last for as long as you want. And the woman doesn't get to experience what's possible for her either. So you kind of like, I call it actually like sandpit sex, because it's really like the first level that you won't know what's beyond that, because you're stuck in the circuit of building excitement, releasing excitement, and then building, releasing, you know. But when you kind of step out of that and you take the orgasm and the ejaculation out of the picture and just allow yourself to go with that energy, it just opens up completely new realms where you can enter and or you will enter an orgasmic state where it's like rather than heading towards the peak or a goal, you're opening up the present moment exponentially. It's like you're opening a portal in each moment, and the most subtlest thing, like this tiniest movement, becomes like incredible. And from there, it's like this, you know, there's no end to what we can experience. But most people go into trying to create more excitement, more stimulation, more, while they're kind of desensitizing themselves and feeling less and less and less. So you kind of always then need more stimuli. And that's why then, you know, people that used a lot of porn and a lot of really sort of extreme stuff like that, then to have normal sex seems like nothing, because you desensitized yourself. And for women also, I mean, a lot of women have, you know, like scarring and trauma and numbness, like in the genitals, in the vagina, and they just don't feel much. So if you go in and try and pound and create a lot of friction there, it's just going to be awful, or just really numb her down even more. So I'll go the opposite way. Stop moving. Just be still and see what happens. And you might not feel anything for quite a while, but when you do, it's going to be very different. And it could be instant also. For some people, it takes a while. For other people, it's instant. But it's very different, that's for sure.
Yeah. How much you think about the different levels of sex, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, right? And what I'm curious about is the emotional component of this tantric experience. How much of our emotional body are we bringing into this experience?
I'd say bring everything, you know? I don't want to exclude anything, you know? Tantra is saying yes. Tantra says yes to everything, really. And it's a surrender and allowing, you know? But I don't want to hold on to anything, because when you do, that's when you sort of, then it becomes, you know, something that is not flowing anymore. So to allow emotions to come and flow through you, and that could be like, oh, wow, I'm feeling, you know, sadness or even like anger, and you can work with everything there, you know, and that's where, you know, I find it so important to really use the body when emotions come and allow ourselves to rather than just shoving it down, you know, suppressing it, to actually let it be and find an expression and release it.
I like that. Welcome everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the first book on Tantra that I read, actually, by Osho, Tantra, The Supreme Understanding, like, you know, 30 years ago. And I still haven't found a copy of this book, because the back side of the book, I knew it by heart, because it was so beautiful. And it was just like, Tantra says yes. Tantra says yes to everything. And it just went on and on and on about how it was just a complete yes, you know, and it just remained with me. And in saying that, that has not been how I've lived my whole life. Look, I've been, you know, in and out and around and through all sorts of different illusions and everything, and coming around again now, you know, and with a new awakening in some ways, actually, as, you know, at this, you know, auspicious times that we're going through now, is another opportunity to really go to the next level, you know, whatever that means for everyone.
Yeah, I like that. So it's common knowledge, one of the number one prescribed medications, at least in the US, is Cialis and Viagra.
Is it now? Oh yeah. My God.
So that tells us a lot about what's happening, right? And how men are experiencing different forms of erectile dysfunction or impotence or whatever it might be. In your experience, how does this show up in the work that you do, and what sort of offerings do you provide your clients to move through ED and those sorts of things?
Yeah, great question. So I've heard that it's becoming more common, and also checking in with other people that, you know, doing similar things that I do, it seems to be related to, you know, or one part of it can be related to, you know, to porn use, where we actually desensitize ourselves and create that, you know, the mental connection to sex rather than an embodied experience where you kind of get hooked on needing a certain level of excitement externally to feel. So, and then again, of course, with ED, it's also a range of medical reasons that can be behind that. So in those situations, it's important to, you know, have a full medical examination to know that there's, to out rule that there isn't anything medical behind it. But even then, you know, there's always a way to work with this. And again, about coming back into the body and really getting in touch with your passion in your whole body, because in my experience there's some kind of disconnect happening there, you know, where there's, you know, not fully embodied, you know, in your groin, in your genitals, you know, but there's somewhere where this, it's not quite connected. And so to really work on coming back into the body, connecting with the passion, and allow yourself to move with the passion through your whole body, and to step out of the habit of ejaculating frequently, but allow yourself to build the energy rather than depleting it. Because if you're ejaculating a lot, you're going to lose that energy that gives you the ability to have strong erections. So that's super important as well. And then there's, you know, the whole thing, the whole focus also on that you have to have an erection to have sex. That's also, you know, a part of the problem, because you don't, you know, and in the moment you think that you have to, then it becomes very easily like this mind trap where, you know, a lot of guys experience the first time with a new partner that they can't have an erection, even though they normally do perfectly fine, you know, which is, you know, to me, the way I approach that is like, don't try to have an erection. Don't ever try and make yourself have an erection. Listen to your body. It's wise, you know. In this moment, it's not having an erection. So that is right now. You can still be close. You can still be intimate. You can still even penetrate the woman, you know, in a soft lovemaking, soft entry approach. So for guys to experience this a lot, that's ideal. To learn how to do soft entry and plug in with the woman and hook your legs up in the scissors position so you don't slip out, and allow yourself to be there, to just be together and connect genitals to genitals without needing to that, you know, idea of performance. And what usually happens then is that erection will come back. But that needs communication, you know. So often guys, when that happens, they get tongue-tied. They don't know what to say. And then the woman might think, oh, he's not attracted to me. It's my fault. And then you've got a, you know, a thing going there. So communication is really important to be able to, you know, to own that whatever is going on, this is your body, and doesn't take anything away from your manlyhood, you know. It's just, wow, my body's doing this right now, but, you know, I still want to be intimate, you know. We can, you know, try this way, or, you know, to communicate so that she knows that, you know, it's not her fault, because that's what women think.
Yeah, I did a podcast interview with another sex therapist earlier in my podcast, and he used the terms waxing and waning, and erections are meant to wax and wane, right? They're meant come, and they're meant to go, and they're meant to come, and they're meant to go. And the moment we start to judge when an erection leaves, the more we're pulling ourselves out of presence, out of body, and we're in mind, and we're trying to control the experience.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, totally. And also, if you're going into lovemaking that's extended, like for you know, a couple hours or longer, then it's good for the erection to go down a bit every 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Natural, like that, like you say, waxing and waning.
Yeah. So I want to touch on something that you said a couple times. You said fitting in. You talked about fitting in, and women have to fit in, and men have to fit in. And I want to know, because your website is authenticitycoaching.com.au. So for people that want to check her out, you can go to that website. But the words authenticity coaching, for me, it speaks volumes to that, because fitting in is about conforming and moving away from our authenticity and shaping ourselves into who we think others need us to be. Mm-hmm. So how much does this play out in the work that you do with your clients and just teaching them basic principles of what it means to be authentic? And what does that look like if that's the case?
That sort of underpins everything that we do. You know, the process that, you know, that has developed is, it's all about really allowing ourselves to tap into, you know, what is authentic, you know, for you, for yourself, which is also will be different in every moment. You know, it's, you know, in the moment we decided this is who I am, and, you know, then you kind of already boxing yourself in, but to allow yourself to surprise yourself, you know, that there's always new layers and levels as we evolve, you know, and the less, you know, the less ideas really I have about it, the more freely, you know, that authenticness can come out, and it has a certain quality to it that's, you know, it can be felt. Everybody feels it, like the geckos feel it. Like, I have geckos here in Australia, heaps on the wall. They will always chime in a moment that's one of those synchronicity moments. Yeah. They always come with a little noise, you know. Yeah. Nature knows this, you know. So, you know, there's lots of paths leading to Rome, you know, there's lots of different ways, you know, and different teachers and therapists have found their ways, you know, and no one way is right for everyone. So, you know, I work with this, you know, that I put together because I find that it's, you know, it's very comprehensive and it gives a very, very good foundation for being able to find this in yourself. But it could be another way for someone else, you know, whatever works, really. And in the moment that this flow happens, everybody recognizes it. Everybody knows it, you know. It's that thing you look up and you see somebody's glint in the eye and you know that you've seen it, you know. Mm. Those moments. But if we try and hold on to it, then it kind of disappears. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I just wrote this down when you were saying that. Why do we need to be so certain about who we are? why do we need to box ourselves in? Where does this come from?
Well, because otherwise we, you know, I think maybe we faced with, you know, with something that's so much bigger that can be daunting, you know. What if we are, you know, I mean, most people, I think, believe that we are spirits or souls, you know, at least when we die. But if we are when we die, then we are already now, you know. Are we living that, you know? It's, if you really look at it, it's you know, it's mind-boggling, you know. And so maybe we use that thing of, you know, this is me, to kind of have something to hold on to. I don't know. I know I've done that.
Yeah. It's like attachments or something. And then we can like fit into these things that are prescriptive to who we think we are. Right. And it gives us purpose and meaning. And yeah, it's interesting. It's like self-concept, right? It's kind of like wrapping ourselves up in self-concept. And I also think that self-concept can be beautiful, but it can also be an inhibitor to our authenticity, because we aren't allowing ourselves to flow and be fluid. Yeah. Moment to moment, because it's like, oh no, I can't do that because it doesn't fit into the concept of who I think I am.
Yeah.
So yeah, it can be positive.
And what if I'm more than that? You know, like, questions is great, you know, ask ourselves questions. The subconscious mind cannot ignore a question, you know. So there's, you know, there's high quality questions and low quality questions, you know, where you can kind of, you know, why is this happening to me? Or, you know, that kind of limits us and you know, puts us down. But like, what if the opposite is true here, you know? What if I'm way more than this, you know? That opens us up to, you know, the possibility of that, wow, there's so much more that, you know, yet to be discovered. And I mean, I love that personally, you know? And we're different, you know? For some people, they like it differently. So the amazing thing, we can, you know, we can create our own, you know, we're here to create our own reality. So whatever works, whatever, you know, lifts you and makes you feel that you actually, you know, you love getting up every day and living your life, you know.
Yeah, I just want to share the experience I'm having of you right now, because I think it's quite beautiful. Well, first of all, you have a very beautiful mind. The way you articulate yourself, the way your mind works, it's very beautiful. And I'm kind of tracking you, and it's so easy. It is. It's like flowing, like just to track you and be with your thoughts. So that's really cool. And you're also, your presence draws me in to be present myself. You have this quality about you that allows me to be just very present. Like while we're talking, like my mind is with you. And sometimes when I'm talking to people, my mind wanders, but in this conversation. So that tells me that you have this ability to be able to draw people into their own presence, which is really beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice to hear.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, I want to be mindful of time. So we have a little bit, about 5 more minutes. So I do want to ask you a question that I ask all the guests that come on here, which is the question that I have on my Instagram is, how much of me can I be, or how much of you can you be? And using the term like, this is me, this is who I am. It's about self-ownership. We move from self-acceptance to self-ownership and being really proud of who we are and wanting to share that with the world through vulnerability. What is one thing that you can leave the listeners with that's helped you embody this ability just to show up and just be you and be confident in that?
Wow.
And you can take a moment to think about it.
I'll take a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Sit with it.
Well, you know, thinking like of not doing it, for instance, if I think of not showing up and being me, you know, how does that feel? And then thinking of actually showing up and being me, and it's scary, you know, it's like, wow, you know, but that to me has so much more pull, you know, because, and I don't know if that's something that, I mean, for me, it's taken a long time in life, you know, I started early, but I've kind of been slow in the way I also feel in my evolution. And these days, it's so much about actually, you know, feeling the fear and doing it anyway. Because I know that the opposite to that, it's not leading anywhere good, you know. I've tried that too, you know, to kind of stop myself and hold back and shrink. And it's a very miserable existence. And it is scary to do the opposite. It is, but it's so much more rewarding, you know, and we can do it in little bits, even by ourselves every day, in like, you know, if I really, for instance, like if I really living my heaven on earth experience, like what would that look like for me? What would that look like for me right now, you know? And what is not in alignment? What needs to go? You know, what can I cross off? Okay, well, that. Okay, but this, yeah. So to actually allow myself to start do that right now, you know, it's not in the future when I've got the house and the car or whatever, but if it's starting right now, you know, what is my heaven on earth experience right here and now? And for me, that allows me to, yeah, really step into being the fullest version of myself.
I love it. I love it. Feel the fear and do it anyway. That's a phrase that I heard when I was 10 years old, and it has just stuck with me. I think there's a book actually that my
there's
mom...
There's a book. Yeah. It's a good book. Yeah.
And it's old. I remember seeing it when I was a little boy, yeah. And it always stuck with me, the cover and all. And, you know, for me, that the pain of withholding the truth of who I am is greater than the pain of sharing who I am and maybe getting disappointing people. So I've been able to weigh out, you know, like for me, it's just so important to show up and be who I am and feel liberated to share that with people. So,
yeah. And it can be, you know, when you haven't done it for a long time, it can seem like where to start, you know, when people are really, you know, stuck in a pattern, you know. So, you know, instead of thinking that it has to be a huge thing of self-declaration, but like just in little things, you know, what can I do in this moment to really honor the greatest version of myself, you know? and start to really go like, yeah, no, actually, you know, I'm here to live this life and to live it fully and check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And oftentimes people think like authenticity is about you just all of a sudden hop into your authentic self and you live that way forever. But it's, I tell people that it's a series of choices that you make every day, and they're very delicate choices where you hit a fork in that road and you're like, how much of me can I show up in right now? Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about. And those accumulate. And then the more and more we do that, the more we develop a stronger sense of self-worth.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful.
Yes, like you're building the muscle of doing that, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, creating a momentum of, you know, of coming back to honoring yourself, and, you know, to be aware of your inner dialogue is really important there too, because there's a lot of things we say to ourselves that really gets us stuck in a rut. I love the rubber band method. You know that one, when you have a rubber band around your wrist and whenever you catch yourself with a thought that's kind of not helpful, that gets you down, you have to move the rubber band to the other wrist and change that thought around, you know. Okay, so if it's not like that, okay, what's then possible? Okay, so, and that could be a lot of moving of the rubber band in the beginning, but it won't take long before you go, oh, I'm getting good at this, you know, I don't have to move the rubber band because I'm getting used to it. But if we've been thinking in a negative pattern for 10, 20, 30 years, it's not going to happen in one day, you know. It's a, you know, cultivating of a practice of becoming vigilant with the thoughts that we entertain.
Exactly. Yeah, I like that analogy. I like it. So as I said, you can find Nitya at authenticitycoaching.com.au. Where in Australia are you?
Near Byron Bay.
Byron Bay. Okay. Yeah. Right on. Yeah. Right on. And Nitya has a one-on-one coaching program that is 5-week sexual mastery intensive. Is there anything that you'd like to share about that program for the listeners?
Yeah, that program, it's based on my 5 steps method. I'm actually just finalizing an ebook now that goes into these 5 steps quite in depth. And I will let people know when that's ready. They can probably easiest to find me on Instagram. What do you think? Because my website is more of a funnel that if people want to go through it, it's great and sign up for a call with me. Yep. But otherwise, it's better to connect with me via social media if you want to just send me a message, you know. So Tantric Frequency on Instagram.
Yeah, I'll put both.
I just lost your sound there.
Good now?
A little bit low, just a little bit low.
Okay.
I can hear you still, so just...
Okay. I'll add the Instagram handle in the show notes.
Yeah, that's probably easiest way to... Or otherwise, Nitya Malin on Facebook. I don't use a page, I just use my personal profile.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you also have an audio program called The Code to Lasting in Bed.
Yes.
You want to tell us a little bit about that, what that's about?
Yeah. So I've created an audio program for people who, you know, for various reasons might not, you know, want to work with me in person, where it's also based on the same, you know, 5 anchors methods, and where I really take the listener through the content and the practices step by step in a guided process so that you can do it by yourself and implement it into your life. And there's even like guided self-pleasure as well. So it's really quite a lush experience, but, you know, very, you know, affordable for someone who just wants to really try this out on their own without even needing to talk to me. So actually, I was meant to look before whether the link in my bio on Instagram is to this or to my website right now, because I swap in between them. I don't know which one's there at the moment. But I often have the link there to the code. But otherwise, just send me a private message and I can give you the link to the audio program.
Okay. Yeah, it's not showing up right now. Authenticity Coaching Sexual Mastery Portal.
Okay, so it's on my website right now, so it's not on the audio program. So so just send me a private message to get the link for the audio program.
Cool. Yeah. I'll send it in the show notes as well too, so for the listeners they can access it there. So
awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you. Honestly, this has been super informative for me. I know that there's a handful of people that are really excited for this to be released because I've talked about it happening. And I asked some of the questions that some of the listeners wanted to ask you. So I know there's going to be a lot of great information that people are going to be eating up out of this. So yeah, thank you for giving an hour of your time to us to unpack your knowledge and wisdom. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. So great to meet you. And likewise, you know, I feel so nourished and inspired by, you know, something like this, you know, and to get to meet you. So super beautiful connection.
Yeah, thank you. And for people that are interested, I have also released a free course. It's a 7-day how to become more authentic. It's called Embody Your Truth. So take a peek at that. And it's going to teach you some of the foundations of how to become more aligned to your authenticity. So
awesome.
I will also include that in the show notes. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And have yourself a beautiful day.